The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in our studio today. We have Annette Sweet and Scott Richardson. And we're going to be talking about the Harbor Beach Lighthouse. Lighthouse Preservation Society is getting ready to get the tours going again this year. People can go out and find out what that white thing is on the end of the Harbor Beach breakwall, and they've done a lot of work inside to try and bring it back to when there were actually lighthouse keepers living in there. And we're going to be talking about some of the things going on. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
I guess the first thing I'd ask, the lighthouse is now in private hands. Coast Guard turned it over?
Yes, 2 years ago the lighthouse was turned over to the Harbor Beach Lighthouse and Breakwall Preservation Society.
And that's a lot of what the Coast Guard and the government were looking for, is someone who would preserve it.
Yes, General Services Administration and the Coast Guard, periodically, every year, they turn over these lights to private. They start with public entities, like the
city,
yeah.
They want something large enough that's stable enough that's going to be able to maintain it.
Yes, because the Coast Guard, all they have to do is provide an aid to navigation, really just a light. So that's why these things have been turned over. It's a money saving for the Coast Guard.
Now, the light still operates in there. It's a little light that's used with, I believe, solar panels to charge a battery and keep it going all night long, something like that. Is it still an aid to navigation? Is it a private aid to navigation? Is it you just do it because that's the way the harbor should look?
The lighthouse was a Coast Guard aid to navigation up until late last summer. And then they built a single pile light on the breakwall, and they started using that as their aid to navigation. And Harbor Beach Lighthouse actually went dark for the first time in 128 years.
Now that is on the other side of the main opening to the breakwall?
No, this is right at the lighthouse.
Right at the lighthouse?
Right at the lighthouse.
And was there a reason for that? They just want to be in control of it because it is an aid to navigation that they need to have access and no one else do it?
That's what they wanted to do. So they built their own tower on the breakwall, just a small single post, and put their aid to navigation and their solar system on and separated it from our lighthouse.
And these aids to navigation, they were really important before we had GPS and all these other things, satellite feeds that could get you to whatever harbor you wanted to, almost by automatically steering you there. These were what sailors in the past followed up down the shoreline to get to where they wanted to go.
These were the sailors' signposts. When our country started and our economy and stuff, that was the signpost. There was, by the color of the lighthouse, the characteristic of the light in the lighthouse, that's how the mariner knew. In fact, Harbor Beach is actually still where they take a change course to steer to Mackinac. So it's there have been guideposts since well into the early 1800s.
And when you talk about the light being different, it's either how it flashes or color combination or something that makes it distinct.
Yes.
So you know you're not looking at the Point of Barks Lighthouse at Lighthouse Park, that you're looking at Harbor Beach, because you had to be able to recognize it simply visibly.
Yes, yes.
And that's a big lake. You could be out so far you couldn't see it, too. That would be scary to me.
Well, the light projected, our Fresnel lens projected almost 15 miles out from shore. So the ships were able to see them either going up or down by looking at the light. It's a very important part of our history, the lighthouses. They tell us all about what we were doing in that time period, and they're statues that are left for us to enjoy. So it's really part of us, and we learn a lot from them.
A lot of these, like your lighthouse in Harbor Beach, were not on land. You know, some of them are on cliffs, so you see these wonderful pictures of lighthouses on cliffs, and you know, oh my. But yours is on the end of a breakwall, and somebody had to live there. There was a time when somebody had to get up, and it's, you know, evening, we've got to light the lamp and keep the ships from or stoke up a steam generator and get the siren going, the foghorn going, so they don't crash into something. There had to be somebody living there. People might not realize there's living quarters out there yet.
Actually, the first lighthouse did not have living quarters. The very first lighthouse that was built up there was put at the end of the breakwall, and it was a skeletal model with just a light above, and it had basically a workroom. And the lighthouse keeper had to row from shore every day out to the light, do the work that he was assigned to do, maintain the light, and then row back in the morning every single day. And that light is about a mile out from shore.
Now, this guy must have wound up with humongous arms.
Well, I wasn't there at the time, but I would imagine so. And
telling the wife, I'll be back.
Yeah, and imagine the job of just rowing out there each day had to be tremendous, but that was a very lonely type of job as well, until the lighthouse was built for maintaining quarters for lighthouse keepers and their assistants. And that took place when there was a terrible storm, and they thought sure they were going to lose the lighthouse and the lighthouse keeper, and it was determined then something more permanent had to be built, and then they started building the lighthouse that we see today.
Now, you hear a lot of lighthouses, you know, they're brick and mortar and they go up, but this one was kind of prefab in the early days of
this was
of
a
lighthouses.
Hit, amazingly enough. It's put together in cylinders. It's absolutely amazing to me, because when I think of a kit, I think of something coming apart in pieces and just sewing it together. But this is a kit, and it's made of 5/8-inch thick cast iron. And it was put together in cylinders. Each level was bolted together, and then the first level was done, second, third, fourth, and continued on up. And it inside is 12-inch thick brick walls, and then of course paint over that. So it's pretty solid. It has withstood storms that are amazing. I've been out there in a storm, and I think I would rather have stayed there than been on shore.
You know, we did have that one storm that took a chunk of the break wall out, and the lighthouse stood.
Yes, it did. Well, it stood now. Starting next year is our 130th birthday of the Harbor Beach Lighthouse, so it's been there 130 years.
No, but that's the start of the one that was like a skeletal one.
No.
This is the actual
lighthouse. It was completed in 1885. So it's 100. This lighthouse that you see standing today is 130 years old next year.
And when you're talking about something made of iron, basically, today we have materials that would, you know, be less corrosive in a marine environment. I mean, anybody who has a boat knows what the water can do, and we don't even have to deal with salt water like some places, but that has to be a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, constant maintenance. And the light keeper and the assistant light keeper, that was their responsibility when they lived out there, was maintaining that light. They were subject to surprise inspections by the superintendent of the lighthouse service. That was their job, to keep it up and to keep it painted and keep it clean. If at any time the superintendent came and found the keeper wanting, in other words, it was not up to park, there was always somebody else in town that would love to have that job.
Was this obviously the lightkeeper stayed there. Was this something where his family stayed too, or was it basically just him out there? Because I've been in the lighthouse, and by today's standard of a house, not a lot of space there, and I couldn't think of having a bunch of kids running up and down the steps.
Harbor Beach was considered a stag light. It was just the keeper and the assistant keeper, and from what we can find in the records, one or the other one was allowed to go ashore at night, and we found go shore at night or go to divine services. That was the only reason that they could legally leave the light for a period of time.
The lake tends to, in the past, I mean, we've had some really mild winters, you know, not counting last year, of course, but the lake, you know, still often has open water. Does that mean that the lighthouse had to be manned 365 days a year, or was there some times when it was just so frozen over that there was no point to it?
Mostly.
Or was it a light that people out on the ice could track to shore?
The lighthouses back in history, they usually closed down right before Christmas, and the keeper and the assistant keeper had to find a job ashore for, you know, 3 to maybe 4 months, and then open it back up in the spring. You know, they had to secure it. But other than that, the light was, they had to be physically on that lighthouse.
And, you know, you think about today, you know, doing stuff, but in those days, if it was an oil lantern, somebody had to carry that oil onto the platform there, take it up the stairs, fill the lamp every night, have enough supplies. I mean, this was not an easy task. We kind of glorify it, I think, when, oh, it'd be nice to be a lighthouse keeper because they're so nice and beautiful to be around. They were hard work.
Yes, the lightkeeper responsibilities started in the morning when he would turn that lamp off, having to polish that, having to clean all the prisms on the lens, the fourth order lens.
Because the oil they used at first had soot.
Right.
Generated. It was pork oil.
It was actually pork oil.
So you'd have soot problems. You had to keep that lens clean. That wasn't just, you know, I'll turn it off till tonight. There was probably a whole daily regimen of things they had to do.
One of the things we do on the tour is go through that. We don't physically go up there, but from the workroom, we go into the fact that they had to put an apron on, because one of the regulations is those lightkeepers had to always be in uniform, which had brass buttons. So they would have to put an apron on, go up, and take that down, take it to the workroom. And the procedure was they actually had a drip pan, and they would put the lantern on there, and they would fill it up. And if any oil dripped, it would go down in the drip pan and go back into the can. So in the morning, they would clean it, polish it, they would refill it, and take it back up to the light so that it would, if it had to be lit sometime because of a storm and stuff, they would turn it on. And when I do the tour, I always tell them, I said, wouldn't it be nice if the federal government was that thrifty now as it was back then? When the lightkeeper had to account for every drop of oil. He was given so much oil at the first of the season, and he had to have to account for every bit of it.
They also had to account for their supplies. They were only given so much in supplies and food products, depending upon the number of people that worked the lighthouse. If it was a lighthouse keeper and he had one assistant, he was given so much meat per season or per year, so much vegetables, so much of everything. If he had two assistants, then it was a larger amount. But they were only allotted a certain amount, so it was very regimented at the time.
It was not a glamorous, easy job that people think today. I know I think the Taos one, they have lighthouse keepers that you can be for the summer or something, or a couple of weeks out of it. And, you know, that's camping, that's fun. That's not what these people had to go through. Did they keep a record of who did all of this through the years?
Yes.
Is there kind of a legend as to who the lightkeepers were?
Yeah, there is a list. There's a list of lightkeepers.
As a matter of fact, there's a list in the lighthouse. We have it listed on the lighthouse keepers of each year. Lauren Truscott was a lighthouse keeper for 34 years. He was the longest lighthouse keeper.
I kind of thought there'd be a lot of, you know, attrition with that. People would think, this is a lot of hard work, and it's easier things I could do. And they'd leave.
Yeah, I think a lot of people envision the lightkeeper as somebody that, you know, sat there and fished all day and stuff like that, and then, you know, lit a match and lit the light. They had a lot of responsibilities. In 1902, orders and regulations to lightkeepers, though, order number 4 is, you will always be courteous to guests that come to your lighthouse, and people would row out there and stuff like that, and you always had to be courteous and show the people around the lighthouse. And that's one of the things that we do as a group. We go by that number four, is to make their visit to the lighthouse as pleasurable and teach them as much as we can about the lighthouse.
I imagine for the keepers out there, though, company was treasured.
Yes.
You weren't going to be rude to them. You didn't want them to leave anytime quick.
Well, there was no television. There was no radio.
That barbarian.
Yes, I know. Barbarian. And, you know, all they had to do was work on the lighthouse and read. And that was another thing that was started many years ago with the library that went from one lighthouse to another. It was a library box filled with books that would, it was like a mobile library that we would know today. And they would take the books to the lighthouse and they would exchange books that they already had, and then the box, the library box, would go to the next lighthouse. And that was one of the things that kept them sane, I would imagine, was reading, because I would go insane, but that was what kept them sane, was a lot of the reading materials that we brought out.
People today, you know, if you had to go back to what we had in the 60s with just three television channels, would go nuts. And today...
Excuse
today
me, you're talking to old people. That was our time period.
That was mine, too. I remember it. I remember when there were only, well, I lived in Detroit, so we had like
so
five,
did I.
But it's two of them you couldn't hardly get, and there wasn't anything.
And at midnight, anyway, all you got was static.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do remember those times. Yes, much indeed. And you know, another thing that people don't know about was the building of the break wall. The construction of that break wall was a feat in itself, and that took 11 years to complete in order to put a lighthouse out there in the first place. That harbor had to be built, and it took 11 years to complete that break wall. So that was another very long and arduous job that was taken on by the people that lived in Harbor Beach, or Sand Beach at the time that it was called.
And did the, maybe you're not well versed in the break wall, but did the Coast Guard, you know, kind of be involved at least as to what they'd like for a harbor of refuge?
No, it wasn't the Coast Guard at the time. It was because so many ships had run into difficulty in storms. There was no place for a ship to stop if a storm came up. They had to go all the way back down to Detroit and into the St. Clair River. So the mariners, the ship's captains themselves, put into the government that a harbor had to be built out there somewhere. And a lot of the cities along the shore vied for the harbor, but two were picked, Port Hope and Sand Beach. And Port Hope had...
Which was Harbor Beach at the time.
Yeah.
Well, it was Sand Beach at the time. It is Harbor Beach now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Port Hope had better anchorage, but Harbor Beach had better politicians, so it won out.
So this is kind of like the days of the Western, where you wanted to be where the railroad stopped, because this was going to bring commerce to your town,
right,
and make it grow.
Absolutely. And the railroad stopped at Detroit. There was no other way to bring goods or services up into the Thumb area except by ship. So the break wall began, the construction began, and it was federally funded. And that's why it took 11 years to complete, because each year they would have to apply for federal money, work on the break wall, which was arduous in itself, and then until the money ran out, then they would have to wait for the next year to apply for funds again.
And if the government were doing it today, it would never really be complete.
If the
government... I just had to throw that
the out. Government couldn't do it for what it was done then. Actually, the whole endeavor, the break wall and the lighthouse, came up to over $1 million. And it was billed the Million Dollar Harbor. So that was quite a lot of money we're talking about in the 1870s. That was a lot of money and a lot of back-breaking work that was done into building that.
I imagine the government made sure that the town also, you know, had to be putting, you know, effort into this. Do they usually, like, you know, want to make sure that they're not building this whole harbor and the town's not
dead,
set to grow?
Yes.
So the town,
well,
really had to be a part of this too when it
they
when
did
it was,
and the people of the town and the workers, they, most of them came from the town, and the supplies, the building materials, came from the area, the lumber, the stone,
I know you got stone out in that harbor. I had a little boat, and I went out there, and I looked down, and there's a boulder down there the size of a small house. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm worried about my little $50 prop, and there's these big cabin cruisers going over it, and I'm like,
eee. Yes, that was an issue. But the stone came from the shoreline and the farmer's fields. And, of course, the farmer's fields are still growing the stone, but they used a lot of it to build that harbor.
Really, we've talked a lot about the history, but there's a lot going on today.
Absolutely.
That we need to talk about as far as the lighthouse. I understand the tours are set to start again. You had some last year.
Yes, and we did very well last year. We loved having our guests come out. Our tours begin this Saturday morning, and the first boat will leave the marina at 10 o'clock in the morning. And our guests that are our first guests on this first date will receive a little gift from us. So we're anxious to have folks come out and join us Saturday, and we can share our passion for the lighthouse. So we look forward to people coming out this weekend.
Dramamine in bags?
No, but we will surprise. Provide, you know, a little surprise for them and lots of smiles, and we look forward to
it. And what people, if I remember from last year, don't realize, you know, it's a tour, but they take you out there, but you kind of can stay as long as, you know, because there's other boats going back and forth. You're not relegated to 20 minutes and you're out and the next boat's coming in. You can, if your kids are getting cranky and you got to get out of there, the next boat, you can take the next boat. If you're still exploring, you can stay there longer.
Absolutely. We like to allow people plenty of time to enjoy the lighthouse, to look around, and to enjoy the view. I mean, we have a magnificent view from the gallery deck that is unbelievable, and people like to spend a lot of time up there. So yes, we encourage them to stay longer and to really enjoy that experience
and to ask questions. A lot of people that come out there have no idea the history of it, and if we don't know the answer, we'll get the answer to you. You know, we'll be able to find the answer for
people. Have to realize, though, there is some climbing, and it's not all ADA accessible, Americans with Disabilities Act. There is ladders and things to get onto the platform where the lighthouse is situated. These are things you're going to have to know before you decide to take a tour, because, you know, it would be real cost prohibitive to put lifts in for everything around there, at least at this point, as you're starting out.
Yes. I think that would almost be impossible to do with the structure of the lighthouse it is today. We have people that come out and go no farther than the galley on the lower level and still enjoy the experience. Wheelchairs, no, we can't accommodate wheelchairs, but we have had people with canes and crutches and, you know, we've had that come out, and that's fine. And children, we have to have adults with children, of course. They can't come out independently, youngsters. But
responsibility.
Yes, there's a big responsibility. I mean, we're out on the water, but wheelchairs, unfortunately, we can't handle that.
It's things people need to keep in mind. You know, enjoy it while you can. If you know you're getting older, don't keep putting it off. Enjoy it when you get out there and see what's going on out there. I was out there for the media tour, and at that time, rooms were set up, beds were in there. I mean, it was like, you know, somebody was living there at the time.
Yeah, we have it set early 1900s to 1920 as far as what, you know, we would believe the settings were in the lighthouses. They were very sparse because there were, you know, two men. There was no women like keepers there at the time. It's just men, so it's...
Yeah, I didn't know if husband and wife might be allowed, that type of thing, but no. It never happened at Harbor Beach.
No, never happened at Harbor Beach.
Not legally, anyway.
Now, is this something you need to make reservations for? Do you just stop out? Where do you go in town if
you
want to do this?
You can make reservations on our website or by calling the marina. You're able to make reservations in that manner. Or just come down to the marina there in Harbor Beach, and tickets will be sold from our brand new gift shop that I wanted to talk about and tell you.
We'll go into that too.
But you can purchase your tickets there at the marina, and the boat begins at 10 o'clock, and it leaves about every 30 minutes because it has to have about 15 minutes to go out to the light and about 15 minutes to return. So about every 30 minutes, a boat will go out. And tickets are easy to get. And we're there to have them all ready for you. So come on down.
And when you say the boat going out there, this isn't a boat you purchased to do all of this. These are volunteers that are helping out the program?
No, we have, the City of Harbor Beach has contracted.
They've contracted.
A charter boat, yes. Jaylen Charters has contracted to take our guests to the lighthouse and from, to and from the lighthouse.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the gift shop.
Yes.
I understand that, you know, people like souvenirs. They like to take a little something back with them. A lot of people go lighthouse to lighthouse to lighthouse, and they want a reminder. So I think the gift shop's probably perfect in that regard.
It is. And we are very fortunate in that we have a new gift shop available for our guests. It's located right there at the marina. We have wonderful little gifts that of all price ranges that you can take as a reminder of your visit. And we have some wonderful people to thank for the work that they have put into the remodeling and renovation of our gift shop. We had, and this was all volunteer work. The City of Harbor Beach was just wonderful in their help, and the employees of the Harbor Beach, City of Harbor Beach, were wonderful in bringing it into the school. Harbor Beach Schools provided us with a location that could be used over the winter months for the renovation of our gift shop, and they transported it back out to the marina. So, and this was all volunteer. So we're real excited about opening up our gift shop this Saturday for the first time.
Is it open just when the tours are running?
Yes. Yes, the gift shop will generally only be open while tours are running.
Do you have some of the memorabilia that you sell available in town if people aren't necessarily there on a Saturday?
They can purchase anything that we have available on our website as well.
There you go.
Absolutely.
They're always playing with their phones or
their computers
or tablets, and give them a place to go.
You can purchase tickets. You can purchase gifts. You can purchase gift certificates for tours on our website as well. So we encourage that.
Okay. Now, next year is the big 130th. You've got, I imagine, the gears rolling as to some big plans for this?
Yes, we do. It's the 130th birthday of our lighthouse, and the marketing committee that Scott and I are both on, along with Shelley and Heather and Tony, have some wonderful ideas we have in the working. Now, everything's not been written in stone, but...
Because this is volunteer.
You have to... But it's been a year in the plan.
Dough, and then you have to get somebody on board to do it and all that stuff.
Man, all the arrangements have to be made, yes. We have a lot of events planned. We're planning a non-motorized parade. We're planning live music concert. We're planning crafts for the children. There'll be lighthouse cutouts, which is going to be a really neat thing we've got planned. These are large wood cutouts, about 3 feet high, Scott?
About three feet high,
that are a lighthouse. And we're asking the merchants in Harbor Beach and the residents to purchase a lighthouse cutout that'll all be prepped and ready for you to decorate in whatever business you're in. Say you're in a floral shop, decorate it with flowers, or however. We don't want it to be decorated like a lighthouse, but it is a lighthouse, and it'll be depicting the 130th anniversary or birthday of the lighthouse. So, and we're giving it, offering it to residents as well, the lighthouse cutouts, and they can decorate it like for their family and put it out front. So we're hoping that month, our anniversary is July 18th of 2015, is a celebration, the 18th and 19th, and that whole month of July next year, we want these cutouts all over town to help to celebrate that celebration. And we're also doing a quilt show, which is my little bag. We're asking people who are quilters to make a quilt or any textile item depicting lighthouses or having to do with lighthouses, quilts, table runners, whatever. And we're going to have a show on the 18th of July depicting and showing all of these wonderful projects and crafts that were done.
I imagine you have plenty of pictures on your website. If people need some inspiration, they can see what the
absolutely.
White House looks like.
Absolutely, there is
replicate it in their quilting.
There is a website that you can go to that gives you patterns for lighthouse quilts and for blocks. So I recommend anybody thinking about doing it to go on the Google it, and you'll find gobs of patterns available.
And you find one close, use the same colors, and you'll be close.
And it doesn't have to be the Harbor Beach lighthouse. It can be any lighthouse, but it has to do with lighthouses per se.
Okay. You picked the July, was it 18th, you said?
18th and 19th,
so
yes.
So this is outside like the Maritime Festival? You're doing it at a different time, so you're not competing one type
yes,
of event
it's the week after the Maritime Festival next year. And it'll be in the same general area down at Lincoln Park, but it's the week after.
Because you'll draw two different types of crowds, and you get a big enough crowd with the Maritime Festival now, you don't need to spoil people's expectations by making it difficult to find accommodations. They got to go too far, all of these types of things. You want to make it something memorable.
Right. And we don't want to infringe on one event by putting this one in. So this has been scheduled by the city.
Now, I understand you're looking to replicate the lens that was originally in it.
Yes.
It's in Harbor Beach. It's just not at the lighthouse.
Well, our original lens is located at the Grice Museum now, the original Fernell lens. And Scott has all of the information for you about bringing back the light.
Yeah, Craig, we have a Bring Back the Light program right now. And there's a company in Florida that replicates the fourth order Fresnel lens that we have, but they do it in acrylic. And to purchase that, we've had some money already donated. And so now what we're doing is there's a program again online where you can purchase the prisms for the lens or the panels, the bullseyes and stuff like that. And the plan is to make up for the money that we need to purchase this lens, hopefully so we can have it next year. And there'll be a chart, so all those people that have donated, you know, you'll be recognized.
And it'll really bring the lighthouse back to what it was, because it was what the Coast Guard left up there before they got their new one.
Yes.
Was basically just a little bulb, basically.
Yeah, it was just a little LED
ran it.
Little LED bulbs. This will be look just like the lens that was put in by Augustus Fresnel, made in France and was shipped over here and put in the lighthouse.
Will people be able to go up and see it, or is it going to be in a place that you normally don't access at this point?
Right now, the talk is we'll be able to go up, you'll be able to take a look at it. But if you really wanted to get up and close to a Fresnel lens, you're able to, if you take the tour, you're able to stop at the Grice Museum, which is on the way in and out of the marina, where you pick up the boat and you'll be able to get pictures there.
Up close and personal with a piece of history.
Yes.
Okay. So that is going on. How do people participate? Is there a website? Do they go to your website for the preservation to get a link to where you need to go to get all of the info if you want to support a crystal or a piece
yes.
of acrylic? I guess it isn't really crystal, but it's representing the crystal of
yes. lens. All they have to do is go on to the Harbor Beach Lighthouse website, and across the top you'll have the Bring Back the Light banner, and click on there and it'll tell you what options are there for
and
you.
And when you get into it, I'm sure it'll tell you what's available yet to be purchased, what you're looking for, and costs and all of the other
yes.
things that are associated with it.
Yes. Yes.
Are you a nonprofit? Is this something that
this
you do
is,
as a donation?
Oh, yeah. Yes, this is a 501c3.
So if they contribute
tax
to
deductible.
A piece of that, they can
yes.
they can take it off their taxes. People, you know, like to contribute, but they, you know, they look for all the angles too.
Yes.
And if you can supply that secondary one, all the better.
Yes.
So you can do that for them as well. Terrific. Everything that goes out there is really volunteers, though, isn't it?
Everything is volunteer. Everything. Your tour guides, your docents, all of the people from the Preservation Society that have worked so hard to renovate, that maintain, all of them are volunteers. They have a passion for the lighthouse. They have a passion for the city of Harbor Beach. And it's because of that passion and that love that they do it.
good example of volunteerism. We have a replica lighthouse service toolbox that was made by an individual who was a former resident of Harbor Beach who lives down in Florida. We got all the plans for it through the Michigan Lighthouse Conservancy, gave all this to him. He built this toolbox, and we actually had volunteer snowbirds coming up from Florida this spring that brought it up and delivered it, and we'll be taking it out to the lighthouse probably before the first trip.
Again, they're starting this weekend, the tours. You can go online, you can make a reservation, find costs and all the other things that go with it.
Yes.
I understand you also had the kids participating. You're not quite ready to announce the winners or anything, but you did have a poster contest.
Right, we did. We had a poster contest for that went out to all of the schools in Huron County. And, of course, working with children is just absolutely wonderful. We had, I think, about 126 entries. And we gave prizes to, there were two categories based on grade level, and we gave prizes to the first and second place, I think, in the, each of the two categories, and one grand prize winner, and they were awarded certificates. And the grand prize winner, I think, is coming out to the lighthouse this Saturday. I'm not sure, but
weather permitting. That's always the factor.
Everything is weather permitting when it comes to going out to the lighthouse.
When you're on shore, it's one thing. When you're off, got to go off on the water and on the big lake, it's weather permitting.
Although we're in the harbor, so even if it's sprinkling a little bit, that's not a big deal. Jalen's boat is well equipped, and you can be inside, so it's very comfortable to ride out to the lighthouse and back. And of course, the lighthouse, the tour is one part of the tour begins inside, part of it begins outside at the break wall. So it's got to be pretty inclement before we're not there.
Well, terrific. One other thing, I understand last year you said it was a stag thing, but I heard someone got married out there.
Yes, we had a wedding out there last year, and it was really awesome. And the couple came back again, and that's the one thing they want to do each year on their anniversary, is come back and visit the lighthouse where they were married. Thought it was nice. You'll see their picture. I think their picture is on our website, if I'm not mistaken. So go to our website, you'll see it. It's very nice.
Well, terrific. I wish you well this season. I hope you get good weather every Saturday.
Thank you. And lots of guests to come out and visit, because we really love to share what we have.
And you can make it a day. You can go to Harbor Beach in the morning, visit Lighthouse Park in the afternoon. You also said there's a museum up at Port Austin for their lighthouse.
Yes.
They're still working on it out there in the water, but you can go to the museum and get all kinds of other information about that lighthouse. And find out all the maritime history of lighthouses in Huron County.
That's correct. There's a lot to see here in the Thumb, so we encourage guests from all over the state to come visit us here in the Thumb. We have a lot to offer.
Well, we had how many guests last?
I don't know how many total. I know the very last day of tours, we had 52 guests come through. So that was a lot of guests to come through in that short time period. I mean, we were really running. But it was wonderful. We loved every minute of it. And we have had guests coming from all over the United States and Canada, and we've had some from Europe as well, who were traveling here in this country and then came and visited the lighthouse. So, yeah, it was really nice. It's nice to talk to these people and find out where they're from. And the fun part is the number of people that live in Harbor Beach that have never been out to the lighthouse that have come out to the lighthouse. So that's kind of neat, too.
Piece of history in their own backyard, and they never got to see it.
Well, isn't that the shoemaker's son has the worst pair of shoes?
Well, the shoemaker's son isn't paying for the new pair of shoes.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of a catch-21 in that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Our guests today on the program have been Annette Sweet and Scott Richardson. We're talking about the Harbor Beach Lighthouse. The tours start this weekend about
10 a.m.
You might want to get there a little bit early and get your ticket, and so you're ready to go on the first run out there and see all that they have out there. They've restored it inside and out, and they're continuing to find new things to make the experience even better. And they've got a gift shop opening Saturday as well. We'll get another plug in for that.
Thank you.
If you can make it out there, the gift shop is available online as well. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Keep it right here at WLEW.